The Two Man Game Podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star hooper, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!
Welcome in to another edition of the two-man game. We've got, as always, can't have the two-man game without UNC head coach Steve Smiley.
Can't have a two-man game without two-man.
You got to have two-man. Yeah. You got to have at least two.
You know, and here's the deal. Hearing that, the fight song, yeah, it's always exciting. But in the summertime, you know, campus is kind of dead, right? Other than, you know, the athletes that are there and a few other people. But there's not that much activity. The fight song means more today because we had moving days on Wednesday.
Wow.
Which I shout out to all the volunteers, you know, and administration, President Feinstein, Darren. They're big and like, hey, you know, athletics, help out. And I'll tell you what, we were out there. Our full team's not here yet, but, you know, our coaching staff was there. And I know we were able to bring up mainly local guys. Brock, Walker Asp, Tanner Burkita, Ibu Yamazaki's in town. So anyone that was here helped us out, you know, moving around. There's other guys, too. I'm just drawing a blank. We had like five guys. But I tell you what, like, we're out there. See the football guys helping out. Volleyball helped out. We all have these different, like, shifts and things like that. But on Wednesday, man, like student activities, moving those people in, all you—it's crazy. You get your shift, you help out. You know, there's always sign-up spots, and you just walk in that parking lot behind like North-South Hall Holmes Dining Hall, and people have the trunk pulled up, and they're like loading things into wagons. So you just walk up, you creep up on them, and you say, "Hey, can we help you?"
Awesome.
And they're really uncomfortable, like, yeah, like, who are you guys?"
Yeah.
The frats, the sororities, the Greek life, the different cultural centers. I mean, it's a cool all hands on deck, and people just moving people in all day. So to hear that fight song means a little bit more this week because I actually saw the students back,
yeah,
you know, in town, and then the wonderful John Kitzman was tasked with I hate to say pep rally, but whatever it was at 3 o'clock on Wednesday. So I was fishing Tuesday. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
I had to get up 6 a.m., even the 5s, I guess, in, you know, beautiful Lake City. Drove back down the mountain. Got back about 12:45. Moving day is 1:30. And then I had to – I got interviewed at the pep rally at 3 o'clock by John Kitzman. And so there was like 1,500 people there, like students and their families and stuff.
Yeah.
And so I had to do my, you know, as always, go Bears. And saw the Pride of the Rockies band was in there. Like, they were going wild. So it – long story, why am I babbling about this?
No, I love it.
The students are back.
Yep.
Another year has descended upon us, Brady.
What a great, it's also a great marketing plan. I know you guys are doing a good thing, helping the students move in, but you're also getting a chance to get to know new students, and then suddenly they're like,
oh yeah,
wow, those basketball guys were pretty cool. I'm definitely going to go to a game. You know, they helped me move my refrigerator into the dorm room. It's like, that's great.
There is the you know, kind of ulterior motive. You get your basketball stuff on and you introduce yourself and stuff. And hey, where are you from? Oh, you know, and I'm from Aurora. I went to Smoky Hill High School. Oh, that's awesome. Like, you know, Smoky Hill. And it's like, hey, get to a basketball game.
Yeah.
And so I think for all teams, you would be foolish not to do it for that reason as well. But it's some heavy lifting, too. Like, you don't know what you're tangling into with some of those boxes.
Yeah.
I really screwed up. You know, Coach Clofield and I got wrangled into a car, and there was no wagons or anything. So it's like, hey, let's just bring these boxes and stuff. And then it was North Hall, so it was a little bit more of a jaunt. I was dripping in sweat. It was like 103 degrees outside.
Terrible time to move. Well, and I moved over the summer too, Coach.
You know,
and it was awful.
It's awful.
How long have you guys been doing this? Has this always been a tradition?
It's always been something we've tried to do. I think the last just thinking about it, you know, this is my 6 years as a head coach. Obviously, during COVID, it was like, whoa, yeah. Like 6 feet.
Don't even look at him.
So that would be like, you know, it definitely wasn't that. You're right to say definitely the last 4 to 5 years.
Yeah.
And it doesn't come necessarily from us initially. It's from student activities. And then they reach out and say, hey, we need help. We need volunteers. We need people to move in. It's a great thing. And I do think it's a really good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of schools do it. I think it's the right thing to do. I saw my boy Sonny up at Wyoming. They had some social. He was doing the same thing. And then I saw a video today, John Shire, head coach at Duke.
Mm.
And they did a great job with the pro. They had the cameras on him all day. And so it's, you know, but it's like, you know, he's moving around and, hey, can we get some pictures? Like, it was the same idea, but, you know, you're moving out there and you're in this big hub and you got Officer Bobby, like, who's one of our on-campus, like, police officers. Like, they had a station. Student activities had a station just giving out free cookies and water. It's hot out. Like, there was just a good vibe to it. It's like, I do think that first impression is vital.
Mm-hmm.
Our guys are a little different, right? Because they've been up here for 10 weeks, so it's not as, it's a little anticlimactic. But for the students, man, they're scared. They're nervous.
Oh.
I would be too. I look at my kids. You know, my kids are going to be in college in the next 1 to 2 years. And no matter what you're doing, you're in a band, you're a chemistry major, you're an athlete. It doesn't matter. Like, you're 18 years old. You're going to be a little nervous. So to have people out there hands on deck and say, hey, you know, come to a basketball game, come to a football game, I think it's really important.
Do you think the transition, because I remember going to UNC,
yeah,
and I was so nervous about everything.
What hall did you stay in?
I was in one that was old. It was a Candelaria? Is that what it was? It's new now. They just built the new one on the, it's off of 11th, trying to think what it's by. Kind of on the it's west of the UC Center, kind of
it's probably
southwest.
Like the new North and South Hall.
Yeah, that's the new. So it was
I
old.
Think that, Kingman and Beitzel in our world used to live in the old one too.
Yeah,
like, yeah. Our
what was that called?
I don't know.
I thought maybe it wasn't Candelaria. I don't know.
Candelaria is still alive, and Candelaria is where our communications department
is.
Yeah,
I can't think of what it was, but it was when I was in. It was the old one, and then maybe like 5 years after I got out, they tore it down and put up the new one.
I'm telling you, I think I've heard the stories. I think that Neil and Devin, if you're listening, shout out to Neil Kingman and Devin Beitzel. What was the name of your hall that you lived in? Because they told us it got torn down.
Yeah,
it got
totally
rebuilt in the north
out.
And south. But well, no, it's, you got North Hall, South Hall. I'm sure that you had Lawrence, Turner Hall, Harrison Hall.
It was close to Turner. It was close
like
to Harrison.
Yeah, those things were there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so those are still there rocking around.
That place was hurting, though, and it was good that they put up a new one.
I'm telling you, Bear Legends, Kingman, and I think they were in that hall as well.
I hear the
stories.
Oh, yeah. Well, I remember, Coach, being in there, and I am petrified of mice. I don't know if you knew this. I'm a farm kid, but for some reason, mice are just awful to me. And I'm sitting there doing homework one night, and I look down.
You got one.
There's one right there. It was awful, but I kind of got used to it. You know, every night I just see it down there.
Now you're feeding it. It's like a rabid pet.
Yeah. Well, and don't tell anybody this.
Yeah.
But my dad, you know, farm dude, he's like, here's some poison shit. You know, those little poison things. Not very humane, but you do what you do on the farm. So I put one of those bricks down for it. I'm not kidding you. Not only did it not kill it, it grabs the poison block and puts it in its mouth and just crawls up into the heater. And I'm thinking, oh, he's going to eat that and die. 2 weeks later, he's back. I think it just actually made him stronger. It was awful.
It's like, have you seen Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yes.
So volume 3, right?
Yeah.
Like, okay, so like, I just want my kids into like some Marvel stuff, madness. And so, you know, it's funny, like his girlfriend just went to college. This is all this weird stuff we're going to talk about. So she just went to college. So, and they're staying together. So like, okay, now he didn't have as much to do because he used to hang out with her a ton. Well, she's not there anymore. So now like we're bringing him back in the fold. We're like family movie nights. And
mm-hmm.
so. Every Sunday night with him and my daughter, it's non-negotiable. We're doing, you know, movie night. And, you know, usually they get a pick. Sometimes we pick. Sometimes we put it in a hat, have some fun with it. But he was like, Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm like, I don't know, man. That sounds like trash. Like, I'll watch the Avengers, but, I got the little raccoon. Like, this doesn't make any sense. And anyways, you know what? We've knocked through all three of those in about the last 2 weeks. Phenomenal
movies.
Yeah,
they're fun.
How about, like, the animals go into the crazy guy and, like, they put them in those little chambers and they just juice them up, right? And so like they explode in these big, like, you know, warrior animals. That's what happened to you in your mouse.
Yeah.
This is like the kind of people. I'll tell you, let's stay on mice. So this is a good segue to my brother. So, you know, there's two or three things I want to get done every summer, right? To like just break away. I've failed in two of them. One is the family. We always go to the family farm in Falls City, Nebraska for about 3 days. And that's usually like Memorial Day weekend. Guys are gone. Didn't happen this year. And I think it was because our daughter had volleyball, but it was the first time we didn't get out there. It's just far enough, like that it's pretty far. It's like 10 to 12 hour drive. Go out there, go to their little kind of version of Six Flags in Kansas City. It's close to Kansas City, between Kansas City and Omaha. Long story short, failed. Second thing that we failed is we always go one day to Water World. That's been a tradition since I've been a kid out here, man. So first time we didn't get it done. But the last one is I go up and see my brother in Lake City, Colorado, which is like an hour past. I don't know if it's north, south. I guess it's southwest of Gunnison.
Okay.
But it's an hour past Gunnison because he went to Western State for college. So I know it's an hour further than Gunnison because you got to drive through Gunnison. I got that done. I got it done Monday.
I saw the pictures, yeah, man. It looks like you were tearing it up.
Tearing it up. He's a world-class angler. And so I got to get away, and I got to catch a fish. And I can, you know, one real day of fishing, I'm good for the next year. And the crazy thing is, like, as much as I'm starting to, like, invest in the golf, I'm not getting any better. I'm terrible. But, like, I can go fish, and I can be, like, pretty dang good. Like, I'm not a novice at all. But I go with him, it turns into, like, I'm a real guy because he's a real guy. Like, the right flies. He's got this new stuff to keep the fly. We just dry fly. We don't, like, I know how to nymph and, you know, do the jig stuff and all the stuff that where you can catch a ton of fish, but we are dry fly guys in July and August. Like, the art of it is the realest thing, right? Where you put that fly out there and that trout comes up and grabs it, it is the highest form of fishing, in my opinion. You're moving up the river, the whole thing. So before we get to that, the mouse.
Yeah,
me going on
mice.
I get back home Wednesday, right? Go straight into moving days. This is how my life is just all blurred together, right? So I went up there Monday morning, drove through Denver, had a great breakfast with my mom. She listens to this, so she'll appreciate
awesome.
This.
Shout out to
Claudia.
Claudia, yeah, awesome.
I guarantee if no one else listens, she'll listen to this.
We got it.
So, you know, we have a nice breakfast at this place in Arvada called First Watch. Amazing.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Then I start going up the mountain. I don't pull until 2 o'clock, right? So I pull in to Bro Bears, 2 o'clock, Lake City. It is the most remote county, Hinsdale County, the most remote county in the lower 48. How about that? Mm. How about that fun fact?
Yeah, that's interesting.
It is interesting. And so go there, pull up into his crib, like, all right, let's go. Let's load up. He's like, all right. So we don't do anything crazy. He's got to call. And again, I will never reveal where we fish at. Like, that's his one thing. But he's like, all right, let's load up. I got a place where we get some big brooks. Big brooks? Okay, let's go get some big brook trout. So, like, we go do that. And he's almost militant about, like, if there's anyone else on the stream. It's like it's public land, but it's his stream. It's like, dude, this is a public property.
Yeah.
But he just loses his mind. Oh, yeah, there's people moving in. It's like he's losing his mind. But we get these big brooks. And in that river, they're brooks and browns. So it's like brooks, but hey, you can catch some big browns. We didn't catch a big brown, but we caught a nice, you know, 6-inch brown, just a little baby brown. Well, but in my mind, I'm like, okay, have you heard of the trout slam?
Mm-mm.
Okay, this is the deal, Brady. So it's like, all right, can you catch all four species of trout in 24 hours?
Wow.
They're in different places, so they're not all in the same stream. It's like there's brook rivers, there's brown rivers. And again, we're just going to dry fly, and we're just going to go for, you know, just dry flying. No lakes, no nothing. So it's like, oh, we just caught a little brown trout. Now we got two of four in the first hour. Now my mind starts spinning. I want to compete.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, bro, here's the deal. When we're done here, before I take you to eat at Packers. So here's the thing too, Lake City. Have you heard of Alfred Packer? About 120-year-old fable.
Okay.
He's a cannibal.
Oh, okay. Yeah, oh, this seems interesting.
Back in the mining days, back in the gold rush days.
Okay.
Lake City had a cannibal.
Mm.
Alfred, it's crazy. Like, if you're bored and you're like, it's a weirdo.
I feel like I've watched something like this, but
this is a true story. So, like, before we go to Packers, and now it's this restaurant, and it says, he killed them, we grilled them. That's.
Oh, that is like, awesome.
It's part of their history,
that's,
right?
That's cool.
Only place to eat up there.
Yeah.
There's only one place. So, like, we are remote. So before I take you to Packers, we got to get a rainbow. He's like, oh, come on, bro. I'm like, yeah, man, we got to get a rainbow because I know the next day we're gonna go get cutthroats. So, if we can get one rainbow, I can get the trout slam. Well, he has a river behind his house. The one kicker is he's got this river behind his house that's private access. And in his community of like 30, 40 houses, they have private access to this river.
Wow, that's awesome.
Now, there's still people fishing on it because it's not just him, but like, I'm like, we got to do it. So we go and we snag into a nice rainbow. So now we're 3 of 4 in 3 hours. And so we go eat that night. He's like, I guess this means you got to go get cutthroat, and there's only one place. And it is brutal, and I can't reveal where it's at. But I'll say this. From his place, four-hour round trip, 2 hours each way, 5 miles in, 5 miles out, just as a starting point. And I will just say well above timberline. I won't even give the elevation, but let's, you know, timberline is about 10, 11,000 feet. Obviously, President Feinstein hikes these 14,000. Like, there's nothing up at 14, so it's between 10 and 14.
Yeah.
5 miles in, 5 miles out, minimum. And we just crushed the cutthroats. So I got the trout slammed on. Now, why am I telling you this story, Brady?
This is fascinating.
Mice.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is one of the weirdest podcasts we've done, but it's good. It's
I like
therapeutic.
It. Hey, and it's August 22nd. We need to get weird sometimes.
Yeah, so I go home, and when we're done Wednesday, I got to get up early, and I'm tired. This is a long. It was a 4 a.m. wake-up call. We have to be at the trailhead before 6 a.m. to hike in 5 miles before anybody else gets in before. We have to be the first ones. And so we're gonna establish that, but horse will beat us, camper will beat us, right? If you're camped in there, if you're backpacked in there, they're gonna beat us. So like in his crazy fishing militant mind, he's like, we gotta beat the horse, we gotta beat the guy that's sleeping in, we gotta be tougher, right? It's just a toughness test. So anyways, I get home Wednesday, but I don't go home, I go straight to the school to do what? Move in new students. So I pull in about 12:45 to move in new students, then the pep rally, and then finish the day out, work out my son, go home, right? 6 p.m. I have a bag of the nastiest fishing, dirty clothes. You can just imagine, right? Just the shoes are destroyed. But anyways, I just take it all. I dump it into the washing machine, right? Who knows? Wash it, whatever it is. Something keeps clicking around when I get to the dryer.
Oh, no.
Not like something gross, but like something click, 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 click. Usually like when I put like the detergent and I dump it in, I dump the little bottle. So I thought it was that.
Yeah.
All right, so whatever, that night, you know, pull it out, I'm tired, you know. There was this weird gray contraption in there. I don't know what it is, okay? The next day, bro texts me. He's like, hey, brother, the mice. He's like, did you bring home a mouse trap with you? It's like, a mouse trap. What? I start thinking, there was a weird thing in the dryer. I go, was it gray? He's like, yeah. I go, oh, yeah. It's in the dryer. It must have been latched onto my clothes because I got clothes. He's like, okay, good. I just was worried there was a half-dead mouse walking around my house because I didn't see it the next day when I was cleaning up the room. I was like, oh, no, I have the mouse trap.
Oh, okay. Well, at least it wasn't actually a mouse in there because that, yeah.
Full circle, right?
Oh,
like,
man.
So, and this is good like for people, like the blend of, okay, when do you get away as a coach in Division I men's basketball? It used to be May and August. May's dead. There is no more May because the portal season, you're signing kids. Shoot, CU just signed their last post player for this year, in August.
Right.
So if you're lucky, you get your roster finished in May, so you can theoretically have your whole team in June and July, right? So, like, forget it's the quality of life. That's just not what it is. Like, in May, you're not going to have that anymore. It's not realistic. It's the cost of doing business. It's the price of being a Division I coach. Whether you like it or not, you're not having a May anymore, okay? Maybe a weekend or whatever it is, but you're not going to have that stuff. August is still, like, our guys got back from the foreign trip. They went over 2 weeks. You got to find a way to try to get away a little bit, right? So that's where I got away to see my brother. My kids are already back in high school. Wife is back in 4 or 5 days of working. In the summertime, she's got like the 4-10s. She works at Ames. But during the year, it's back to the traditional. Like, they're on the schedule as us. So like now the kids are coming back and whatever it is. So she there is no more vacation for her to burn.
Yeah.
So she's back at work. I'm like, okay, my guys are gone. My kids are in school. My wife's in work. I'm going to sneak away for my 2 days and go catch a fish.
How difficult is it to come back to reality? Because I would imagine being up there in the mountains, it's a completely different world.
It's a different
world. And I know you value your brother and that relationship so much. You've talked about that. You know, one of the reasons you love coaching in this area is you're close to so many family members.
I have to see it once a year to remember it's there. And the beauty of it, I can't explain how beautiful of a place this is. Lake City, Colorado. Gunnison, Colorado. I was able to get that, you know, when he was in college and when Jeff Leonard, again, going back to the Genesis story, that they were college roommates, you know, my brother and Jeff. And so we would go up. He was a quarterback on a football team. So half the fall when they had home games, my family, we'd load up. Didn't matter if I was a freshman, senior, whatever, like, we're loading up and we're going to go see brother. And I got to stay with him. And so the beauty of Gunnison, Colorado is there's a reason it's exploding and it's touristy and this and that. And it drives him crazy. But But then Lake City, it's so much more remote. I mean, it's just like when it's not tour season, there, I think there's like 400 people in the town, 400. Mm. But in tour season, it's like 6,000. So it's just like it drives him crazy. He wants the 400 version, right? So, but it's to get up there, great. But I tell you this, we finished our epic day of the, you know, and it'd be like 12 miles, 27,000 steps at, you know, above Timberline. I'll just say that my body was in shambles. So was his. He's 47. He's 3 years older than me. Elite athlete. I mean, he's a dude that's, you know, he's elk hunting. He's doing all that crazy stuff, right? Packing out a moose and like that's not me. But the bodies were hurting. But we got back. Finally, at some point, the phone, right? Finally, because there's no service up there. But finally, you kind of get back on this place to get back where service hits before you get back home. Had 80 emails and 30 text messages. And that's why you get away. But my anxiety, because I'm like, I'm revving up. Like, hey, it's time to work too. So it was great to be there. But driving back down that mountain, getting back into service, like not just the anxiety of it, but like the edge of it. Like, okay, it's time to compete, man. We're working on all these projects. We just had our first staff retreat, I think last week or whatever it was. And we build that off of, you know, are the offensive defensive systems right? Do we do the right stuff in Portugal? What are we doing in the fall? How are we prepping it out? And we get away from the office for that. And we have another one coming up September 5th. You know, and that one's – the first one's built off of – from a film perspective, I go back through the entire season. And I have a little button that says retreat discuss. And so we did all the non-con film going back through that. And now I'm going through the Big Sky film. So like the last 2 days, it was – and I'm behind a little bit, but I've gotten to our fourth game, but it's at Montana State. It was our third game, the epic comeback where Marcel McCurry went nuts. Mm. And then that flowed into the epic win at Montana. We're right now, I got like three. We're up 69-38 at Montana.
Yeah.
So it gets me excited. Too,
because
my juice is going. But also there's a nervousness and an energy and an anxiety. Like, hey, we got to – what can we learn from this? What can we put into this year's team? It's an exercise that I really enjoy doing. It is extremely time consuming, but it keeps an edge for us.
Well, I'm excited for you guys to get back and rolling.
Yeah.
You know what that looks like, Coach. You mentioned it. We don't talk a lot about your kiddos as far as what their future looks like. But big news for your daughter when it comes to local
class of 2027. She just got her driver's license. So this is interesting too for people that actually like to listen to stuff. So in my role in the basketball world and trying to educate my son, I can help him because I understand how this stuff goes, right? Mm-hmm. The volleyball, and it sounds like soccer. I was talking to Leonard yesterday too. He's got a niece that's an elite soccer player, and she is going on her like fourth visit, high major places all over. It's the same thing. She's just like she's 16 years old. She's got to make a decision. Like in soccer, in volleyball, it's way earlier than basketball. I didn't know that going into it. So, yeah, for my daughter, it's all out there. I know that they can't comment on it, but I can as a dad. She committed to the Bears.
Yeah, awesome.
And to
awesome.
Coach Oates and you know, what a blessing. And I think, too, it's like what she had to wrap her head around because she's a good player. She's a libero. How good? I don't know. Like, again, I'm just trying to learn this stuff. I can't give as expert of an opinion as I could in basketball, but I know she's good. And, you know, June 15th going into their junior years when Division I's can reach out. And she got flooded those first few – it was crazy. And it's like this is like overwhelming and Zooms and calls. And you know, Coach Oates warned us about that just like as a you know, hey, this is going to happen. She's a good player. She's going to get a bunch of stuff. And then as the dust settles and you kind of get some offers and some different stuff and this and that, doesn't mean you have to make the decision. But if you don't make a decision, like a lot of kids commit earlier, if you don't – then you kind of wait through your next club season in a year, and other things will open up. But the things that were there probably aren't there anymore. And she had a great opportunity to play at UNC, and obviously she wants to be a teacher. It's a teacher's college, right?
Yeah.
Like at our core, one of the things we do at a really high level is teach. And you know, she had a teammate that committed to Montana State volleyball. She has a teammate that is at Idaho State from the previous year. She has a teammate that committed to UMKC, so very similar levels. And no shade on those programs, but it's like one thing for my daughter was she didn't necessarily want to go out of state, but she wanted to take an out-of-state visit. And that wasn't really on the table at that point in time. And I said, look, one of your teammates committed to Montana State, and I'm sure that some of your years are great. But I said, let's just look at last year. You know, they won 9 games last year, Montana State. And then you have a teammate that's at Idaho State, okay, a high school teammate. And they were good. They won 21 games. That's awesome, right? You have a club teammate that plays that's older than you that committed to Omaha. And she's a libero. She can kind of compare that older, but she went to Omaha, right? Good team. I think they won like 14 games last year. UNC won 28 games last year and won the Big Sky by 3 games. Yeah. I said, Avery, just make sure you don't discount, I don't say, you know, quality, success. This is a premier program, but sometimes when it's in your backyard, you don't really realize that as much. So it's right. They won 28 games last year. And we got Washington coming to the crib on next Friday. Not today, but next Friday. Yeah. Washington.
Yeah, insane.
Insane. The Huskies, like the real
They're
Washington.
Wanting to fill that up, too. Yeah. Like, so, sell that out.
And
yeah.
So I was like, just understand, like, and you know, ours, they never put any pressure on her to commit, but, you know, it's kind of getting to that point in time. And we just told like 2 or 3 weeks, us, hey, just sit on it in the sense of like it's either going to grow in your mind as something really exciting or it's going to be something like, I don't know about this. And then you have to make a grown-up decision at the age of 16. And she came in, I don't know, it was like last week, I think, when she committed. She said, I want to commit to the Bears. I said, really? She said, yeah. And so I said, okay, sleep on it. Sleep. And if you still feel that way one more day tomorrow, if you still feel that way, do it. Because it's like, it is early, but this and that, but it's not early in that world. And so she slept. And I said, I'm ready. And she called Coach Oates. And I think Coach Oates was at the pool with her kids. Mm. And luckily, you know, she picked up the call. And Avery, it was just fun. Like, it's really cool to see your kids go through that because it's nerve-wracking. There's anxiety. You know, my son is down to his final two. He's put that out there publicly. He's down to two.
Can we?
He put it out there. It's Wyoming and Colgate.
Wow, Wyoming.
Wyoming and Colgate.
I know you would like the idea of Wyoming with the relationship with Mr. Sundance over there.
And I love both those schools. And, you know, he was a guy that had, like, I think when the dust settled, 8 or 9 offers.
Yeah.
And a couple of schools that it's different offering and visiting, right? Yep. Like, okay, like a couple of schools, okay, well, okay, what are we thinking about visiting? Well, we got to hold on. We do the same thing. A couple of schools he had to say no to. And so you got to kind of, boy, you go through some grown-up stuff, right? Like say, hey, I can't do this or, we're not ready to visit you yet. You know, some things have changed, whatever it is. But had so many great opportunities. And, yeah, he's down to Wyoming and Colgate. And totally different ideas, right? Out west or out close or, you know, far east coast. You know, Colgate's in Hamilton, New York, which is close to Syracuse, New York.
Mm-hmm.
They've done both programs have done the most thorough job of really recruiting him too, not just offering him, but like recruiting him. Full Zooms with the staff, things like that. That it's like, okay, when you get to that and the full staff's on their head coach is active, like, you know, it's real. And so for him, it's like he'll go on two visits and back-to-back weekends in September and make a decision. He wants to be done. And it's like, great. So when you talk about, you know, all this stuff, do you want to be a fall guy or do you want to roll to the spring? And he was like, nah, I want to figure out where I'm going to school. I want to be done with it.
Be done.
I want to be a kid. I want to go to homecoming. I want to chase the state championship. I want to know what school I'm going to. I don't want that stress and pressure. And some kids choose that. Some kids don't. And so, but no, I mean, we're obviously really blessed. And yeah, everything is crazy because she's got 2 more years of high school.
Yeah.
And but it's really cool to know where she's going. And then Matt, to know that, you know, we're at the end of the road with him too is good.
Is there, I mean, obviously, Wyoming would be your vote, right? Or
no,
you want him 50-50. Close?
No, I'd love to, you know, but I just want him. You know, you look at it, and I want him to. You know, he's earned the right to go through the process.
Yeah.
And you look at, you know, okay, there's, you could put all this stuff on paper and rank this and that and everything. You know, level, opportunity to play, academics. I'm sure both, you know, programs are great academically. Colgate's like top 3 school in the world.
That's a big school.
And, you know, even my mom's like, you know, it's $100,000 a year to go there. It's $100,000 a year education to go there. What a great opportunity, right, to do something like that. So they're both – it'll be fascinating for me just – and for me, you want to talk about professional development. Some guys go to a clinic, right, and want to learn some X and O's. That's great. I'm getting professional development watching these guys recruit my son and saying, you know what? That was a pretty good little thing they did. I'm going to take that for the Bears.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm going to be a part of the visits. I'm going to them. That was important to me. I want to be a dad. I want to, you know, just say, hey, what do you think about this, man? What do you think about this? And so, yeah, I'm excited about both things. And obviously, like, from a – just like with Avery being close to home, it would be awesome. There's no doubt about it. But at the same point in time, I want him to be – you know, clear vision going through the process and just seeing what he wants to do. And it's just like with Avery, I don't want to influence anything he does. I would, you know, advise him and throw some, you know, opinions. But, hey, man, like, these are two great schools. Colgate's been to the dance 5 of the last 6 years. They're the dominant force in the Patriot League. I mean, it's really impressive. I didn't know that much about it until I started really recruiting him. And
I always remember that name in March Madness.
They're almost – they won 19 games this year, and they said it was a crisis because they didn't go to March Madness.
Yeah.
So that's a place you want to be at too, right? Like you want to be at a place where the expectation is we're going to go dance.
How unique is that from – you know, you're out recruiting all the time. You're the guy going to the living rooms and talking to the – and then suddenly – you see on both ends for your daughter and your son. I think on the outside for a recruiter, I'd be a little intimidated. Like, we got a Division I coach. These are his kids. He knows he's going to call us on anything. But what is that like from your perspective?
Well, I think even like just learning the stuff and like with Avery, I was on so many Zooms with Avery and Zooms and phone calls and just listening to these people and asking the questions that need to be asked as well, right? But I try to just keep it in dad mode. But at the same point, they do know, like, I know the game, too. You know, I know this recruiting game, and so they at least have to come correct, right?
Yeah.
They got to come, like, you're not going to pull any wool over any eyes. I've taught my kids at a young age the things that we do with our recruits. We make our recruits rank 8 things. And, in fact, this is good information because, you know, it's not too secret, but I'll tell you this. So when we – the timing of it's really good, but we make the guys in our world rank 8 things. And what they are, and so I've made my kids go through it too, and what they are is, okay, distance from home, okay, development, and in my world, it's like development to turn into a pro, to be a Jaren, like we can talk about Jaren, like he just signed with Perth Wildcats.
Yeah, I saw that.
I can give you some updates on Isaiah, you know, things like that too, St. Thomas. But distance from home, development, academics, early playing time, tradition, history, winning, right? NIL, facilities, coaching staff. So these 8 categories, we've been doing this for the last 3 years, and we stole this from this like NIL article in college football and just kind of create our own thing out of it. But I make my kids rank that too. What's important to you?
Mm-hmm.
All 8 of these things can't be important, but go through the exercise and rank them out and decide, you know, is it important to be close to home? Is it not? Is it important to play right away? Is it not? Because, you know, you could go to one level and play right away. You could go to another level, a higher level. It might be hard to play right away.
Yeah.
For all of them, right? So, like, going through all, how important is academics? So, like, going through that process with my kids and them, you know, that there might be more than 8 categories, but those are 8 great categories to start with. And we do that with our recruits and we make them rank that on the first Zoom. Then based off of what they say, we build the more presentation-based Zoom off of that. If academics is number 1, I'm going to spend more time on that.
Yeah.
If facilities is number 8, I'll show you a quick slideshow, but I'm not going to spend that much time on it, right? Like most of the time, kids, like the bottom two right now, I can tell you this, the bottom two for most of our recruits is facilities, which is interesting, and distance from home.
Hmm.
Kids don't care about facilities anymore, at least the kids that we recruit. It's way more so, and they don't rank NIL number 1, because if they do, I'm like, well, if you got 8 offers and NIL is number 1, I can't get you.
Yeah.
Because I don't have that much money.
Right.
So we try to kind of siphon our thing through that way too. But
So why facilities aren't one of the tops that you're
noticing?
It used
to be number 1. Like, it was the arms racing.
Why is that?
Because kids want to get paid.
Yeah, that's it.
I think so.
Okay.
I think that's more important to kids. But – and it's funny, you know, they have their parents on the Zoom. And for some kids, like, we have a kid that's going to be on a visit. I can't say his name because we haven't signed him. But he is deathly serious about academic. He's a 4-4 student. It's a real thing. Cool. Like, let's dive into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for some kids, academics is important. Some it's not. But when their parents are on there, you can see mom, like, starting to get nervous and, like, hey, looking around. Like, you know, if the kid puts academics 5th, like, well, hold on. Now, I just want you to make sure academics is very important. You know, it's like, hey, this is their ranking. I'm not judging, you know. But facilities is usually very, very low for kids. Maybe they're just trained to say that. You know, like, you start to get the trained responses. It would be cool for me to take all this data because we save it for every kid. I should probably do that, make one of our managers or something go through like 4 years of data and go through all these ranking systems and see what the average.
That would be phenomenal.
I could, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, I have the data. We just haven't sorted it yet.
That would be really interesting. It's funny because like on the college football video game,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you're recruiting, you have like 20 little options there to use to go after the guy. And you kind of have to guess like what's important to him.
Right.
So you're like, do I take him on the tour? Is that going to be important to him? Do I show him
that's
the workout,
right.
the weight room? Do I get him some press? That's interesting to hear you say that.
Well, what we sell facilities as, because we don't have great facilities, but they're good.
Yeah.
You know, our gym's fine, right? Everyone knows it. I love it because it holds 3,000 people. I don't want a gym at this level with 13,000 people.
Yeah.
It would just be a big old cave, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what we do sell is, okay, you say you want to be a pro. Most of the kids, you know, development as it pertains to being a pro is pretty high. And that's what we sell here, right? Think about it. We're not that much money now. We sell winning. Like, we've won a ton. We won 44 games the last 2 years. Got rings. Like, we've done some things. But, like, you want to be a pro and you want to get paid. I can't pay you, right? Like, I can't win that game. But here's the deal. The real NIL, the real money, go be a pro for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we're up to 14 current guys in the pros. 14. How about that?
Yeah.
Now, that didn't factor in Isaiah. So when you get Isaiah, because Isaiah, he will go to the pros. Now, he's trying to get a waiver, but he will go to the pros. That's going to happen. So, like, okay, that's 15. So on our most recent graphic, which now we have to update it to with Isaiah, 14 guys. Now it's 15.
That's phenomenal.
That are playing right now. And now we can say, okay, obviously you got, you know, Dalton in the NBA. We'll see what happens to Saint if he wants to go down the two-way Exhibit 10 G League world, or if he wants to go to the pros in Europe. And this, I've got a bunch of European calls, and he's got a great agent, so they'll figure it out. But now Jaren signed in with the Perth Wildcats. That's arguably the best domestic league in the world, not named the NBA. And I'm not talking about the EuroLeague, because the EuroLeague is a European competition,
sure,
right? So EuroLeague, Basketball Champions League, Euro Cup. But when you talk about domestic country league, Australia's right there. Maybe it's the ACB in Spain. Oh, we got guys in that, including Jonah. Well, maybe it's Germany. Well, if Bodie goes back to Germany, he was Telekom Bonn, but that's where Coors playing this year. So now in the Bundesliga, right, the German Bundesliga, we have Coors. Maybe it's France. Dalen is playing for Cholet, France Pro A. I believe we have arguably the four best leagues in the world, not named the NBA, Australia, Spain, Germany, France, players in all those leagues.
That's phenomenal.
And so we sell that. So
it's huge. Like, great recruiting tool.
It's a great recruiting tool. Say, so, well, you want to be a pro? We're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing it to a level that even the highest majors, the power force, like, we're doing it to that same level.
Yeah.
Whatever's in the water out here, right?
Yeah.
So we sell that. How do you get to become a pro? Like, what are the habits? What are the six things developmentally to become a pro? But then two, facilities. We'll say, hey, okay, even if facilities not important to you, I still want to sell for facilities as it pertains to your development. We got a practice gym. There are multiple teams in this mid, low major world that don't have their own practice gym. We do. It's a blessing. Like, we can't take that for granted. Our weight room, the Empower Center, it used to be the worst one in the Big Sky. Everyone knew it.
Yeah.
But now it's the best one. I think it's the best. I think we have the best facility weight room. And we have, more importantly, we have a strength coach, T-Pain Kessler, right? Truly, Thomas Kessler, but he's called Pain Kessler, but I call him T-Pain back in our day,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
synthesizing. Yeah. So we have the strength coach. So we have the things you need facility-wise to get you to the pros.
Yeah, I love
that. That's how we sell it.
Coach, can I ask you, like, do you know on average what these guys are making overseas?
It's wildly. It's all over the place.
Is it in the millions? I mean,
no,
are they
okay. Now, accumulation, I would assume a Jordan Davis. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But the best play, yes. The best players in Europe, yes. The best players, like Bryce Cotton, yes. If you're in the EuroLeague, yeah, think about our guy, who's our big guy for the Nuggets that almost turned it down.
Oh, yeah, Valanciunas.
Valanciunas.
Yeah.
He was offered 12 mil.
Yeah.
Right? 12 mil.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Was it Panathinaikos, I think? Yeah. That's where it was, in Greece. Which is Greece, but also EuroLeague, right? So, yes, like, absolutely. The best, absolutely. Our guys, what usually happens is this. You got to go prove yourself, and you got to grind. Like, you look at Matt Johnson's path, you look at Bodie's path, you look at Dalen's path, Jonah's path. Jonah started in Sweden, then he went to Germany, basically on a tryout with Ludwigsburg. Crazy. He goes on a tryout. Obviously, he's gonna make the team. He's Jonah. He's a winner. When he goes from Sweden to Germany, he like quadruples his money. Hmm. But then when he gets to Spain, boom. Bumps it up. But then when he got, his big one was when he went to Valencia in Spain, and they were a EuroLeague team. So when you're a EuroLeague, you are making money. I don't know how much, but like, I mean, his accumulations, it's got to be in the several hundred thousand dollars. Who knows?
Yeah.
Jordan Davis, same thing. Jordan's been in Europe for 10 years now, or whatever it is, 8 years. So, but you usually start, like, it's not that glamorous. And that's why people are trying to get free years and waiver years to stay in college to make $1 million in NIL money.
Yeah.
Because what happens is this, even if, unless you're a draft pick, if you're a G League guy, you know, like the best G League guys with the Exhibit 10s and the two ways, you might sneak into the, you know, 100,000, whatever it is, 150. You go to Europe initially, it might start like 2,000 a month. Like, it might be 2,000 a month, and then it slowly grows. So, like, this crazy NIL money is so absurd.
Oh, yeah.
They have to stay. No one's leaving early, so they're trying to get waiver years and this and that. There's rumors, and Division II just pushed the envelope on this, that Division II suggested 5 years to play 5 years.
Hmm.
if that passes, I would assume in Division One, it'll be the same thing. These guys can only play four right now, right? Unless you have a free year, COVID year, whatever it is. And that phase is kind of gone. But if Division Two passes it, Division One will probably pass it too.
Sure.
So 5 years to play 5 years. Well,
wow.
No one probably would give up their fifth year of college, is what I'm saying, to go to Europe because they can make so much more money here, right? So things are just – this landscape, it's still rapidly changing, evolving, and I'm telling you, I've said it before, like in 10 years, there will be a Harvard case study on the disruption of college athletics.
Oh, my gosh.
It will be phenomenal.
It's every day every almost. Day. There's a story.
Can't wrap our head around it.
We
can't.
I just can't help but think eventually, who knows when, but are we going to get into some kind of contract situation where players
employees
are signing contracts, where they're just essentially employees?
The employees, collective bargaining.
Maybe you don't
unionized.
Even go to school.
Yeah, well, that's
a
good question.
Is that crazy?
Hopefully they never get to that. I feel like, okay, they get paid. Like, hopefully you still have to be a student. I think that's kind of like the last frontier that you wouldn't want that territory to die. Like, well, then what is this college?
What is it?
They are, there's still eligibility rules. And they still, so I hope that never happens. I still believe in again, moving days. I believe in college.
Yeah,
it would
change completely.
Yeah, I don't think but I do think, like, in the biggest levels, the only way to kind of, tamper things down, structure things, standardize things. We have that 20 million cap at the big boy levels, right? But would be to collective bargain, unionize employee. And you hear those words floating around the biggest levels of this thing. I don't know. I have no idea.
It's wild. It continues to be that way. And I think to when you started, it was COVID, and then bam, NIL, transfer portals going wild. Now we've got, the salary cap kind of thing.
Rev share.
Every year, there's something different.
It's
since
wild.
You've been a head coach,
it's wild.
You got to be. You've adapted well.
You have to. And that's the only thing. We had a parent ask us, like, well, how are you guys winning and staying successful? And that's why I told him. I said, obviously, it's the players and it's having a great staff. But I do think it's the ability to be flexible, to be, to be able to adapt.
Yeah.
The great ones adjust. That's one of our TGOA. The great ones adjust. But if you don't, if you just sit here and complain about it, like you can't adapt, you're worried about the wrong things.
Yeah.
And whether you like it or not.
Coach.
Let's talk real quick. I'm just going to hijack this real quick.
Yeah.
I'm in no rush. I'm sure you're in a rush.
No.
Let's hijack this and let's talk about what are the Bears doing?
Yeah.
Like, what does the fall look like, right? This is cool because it's on my mind. I'm working on it. So Sunday's the first team meeting. We've already had team meetings, so it's kind of anticlimactic. But again, just kind of getting organized for the fall. I believe in giving our guys the calendar, the forest and the trees. The forest right now is August, September, October. Forget the games. That's November.
Yeah.
How do we even though it's like late August, still like August, September, October. How do we win those 3 months? And that's a lot of data, but I want to spread all that out for them. Because again, we have 80, 90% of that organized. We can always be fluid. But we do that. And then the trees is the first week. And you got to win that. But I've always sold it as this, because it was sold to me this way by Don Meyer too. You better win the first 2 weeks. And that's academically. You can create horrendous procrastination and disasters if you don't attack the first 2 weeks. Whether you're face-to-face class or online class, you don't get your stuff done the first 2 weeks online.
Yeah.
You're setting yourself
fall behind quickly.
Yeah. You got to win the first 2 weeks, right? While it's still new, fresh, you got to create those habits. It's different habits in the summertime. Now, kids, we only had one class in the summer. Now you got 12 credits minimum. So now it's harder. There's more pressure, right? So, like, academically, how do we win those first 2 weeks? Basketball-wise, we have 4 weeks until official practice begins September 22nd. Now, we can still practice. We are a little bit ahead of the curve in the sense of having the foreign trip.
Yeah.
But we're also a little bit behind because we're starting a week later than we did last year. So I have that urgency and panic in my mind. And that's one of my phrases, urgent, not panicked. We better be urgent. We're not panicked, but we better be urgent, right? Like, we can't be giving away days and weeks. It's got to be structured. We can't, like, slow roll into this. The phrasing, I love just phrasing this stuff. They buy into it. This year's phrasing is 1, 2, 3, 4. How about, isn't that crazy? 1, 2, 3, 4. It's very complicated.
Yeah.
Here's what it is, though.
I like it. Simple things.
Yeah.
They appeal to me.
What that is we have 4 weeks before official practice.
Okay.
And we're still, like, the going to the staff retreat with our staff. How much team stuff, how much individual stuff are we doing in this fall? And we believe as a staff, the team stuff's got to get important quick because I don't think we're where we need to be. But also, I don't want to just be practicing these guys the first week. I think it's important to get your first week in, have fun as a student. We have a recruit visit coming in the end of the week. We got our first football game. We got the volleyball watch. So I don't want to just get right to team stuff right away. Be a student. Get your habits down. So 1, 2, 3, 4. We have 4 weeks before official practice. We are going to phase in team workouts. 1 the first week, 2 the second week, 3 the third week, 4 the fourth week. So on that fourth week, it's almost all team workouts, not skill work and individual work. We're going to sprinkle that in the team the setting. So, you only guys only do one thing the first week? No. We have 4 hours. So the first week, the scales are tilted towards individual workout. We have position groups, right? So you're going to be with your position groups. I'm going to remove myself from the equation a little bit. Let's get your skills right. We're lifting. The lifting thing never changes, right? So you have 4 hours of lifting. But our 4 hours of, like, which is what we're allowed to do, the majority of that's going to be skill work the first week. And then we'll have one workout at the end of the week. The second week, it's basically 2 hours of skill work, 2 hours of team workouts. And then the third week, 1 hour of, like, just skill workouts, 3 hours of team workouts, and the fourth week is team workouts. Because I want to phase in. When we hit September 22nd, we got to be rolling, man. When we hit September 22nd, we got 2 weeks before our secret scrimmage, which I can't even say publicly. Secret scrimmage. Oh, yeah. So we got that.
Oh, yeah.
So then we got that. And then we will have, and it hasn't been dropped publicly, but we're going to play Wyoming in a open, real game, an exhibition game. After that, like, I think it's like October 15th, 18th, something like that. That's a
That'd
real
be awesome.
Game. It's going to be in Gillette, Wyoming.
Yeah. That's
not,
great.
Not Laramie.
That's great.
Gillette, Wyoming. And we're going to make a big deal out of that. So Sonny and I are working on that. And then we'll have our round ball roll call scrimmage. You better be there. We push that to the
always.
End.
Yeah.
Yeah, to the end of October. That'll be our final. But that's an 8-on-8. Real refs coming in, right? That's an 8-on-8 deal. It's great for our round ball donors, supporters, alums, sponsors. Like, we bring everyone in, feed you a meal. It's awesome.
Love it.
But it also, from a basketball standpoint, it's an 8-on-8 scrimmage, and we have a lot of people fighting for a lot of minutes right now. There's a lot of, I wouldn't say confusion, but a lot of opportunity out there right now. And then games start like November or whatever it is. 9th, I think, is our first game. Mm. Schedule was actually going to drop on Monday. So
sweet.
Yep.
So I'll look forward to that.
So we got all these things coming up, but it's like we need to be urgent, not panicked.
Yeah. It's right around the corner.
And
once you get going, like you said, next week, we got volleyball cooking, football cooking, Shadron State next week for the UNC
so
Bears.
Those guys.
And then, I don't know if you heard it, September 2nd, Coach, I'm going to be out at a volleyball game when UNC CSU is playing. And I'm
first serve guy.
I'm doing the first serve.
Hey.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I'll tell you this. I got invited last year. I was honored, but I was also humbled because... It was myself.
Dang it.
I think it was Coach
Mateo. I didn't
want to
hear
that.
It
was, so this is what you got to factor in. It was myself and Coach Mateo, and so it's like, all right, we going underhand, we playing it safe, or we going for the real serve?
Yeah,
I went jump serve.
Yes, yes,
I did it. I hit the net. It was embarrassing.
No.
Everyone booed me.
Oh man!
Which is so like it can get pretty wild over there.
Palms are sweating.
Yeah,
you're making me nervous now.
I think Coach Mateo, she might have gone over, but she didn't go for the jump serve. But I went all in.
You lined up where you're supposed to line up, right?
I whacked that thing right in the net. It was terrible. But I wanted Coach Oates. I want another opportunity. I have not been invited back.
Yeah.
I want another opportunity to, reclaim what I was trying to do. But yeah, it was. I do want to give a shout out, one, to my guy Ryan Hicks in Renaissance. We got to keep doing that.
Ryan's an amazing
dude.
The
man. I hope you listen to this, Ryan. But then, two, I want to give a shout out, and there's more sports than this, but I think about, three sports. Soccer, they've had some struggling years recently. Coach Barrera is a legend. He's a long senior coach. He's won a ton of championships. They're 1-1-1 now. They lost last night, I believe, to Wyoming, I think. They tied South Dakota, which is great, and they beat Oral Roberts. And that's like, okay, so like, I don't know, it's early, but it's showing some pretty exciting things there. Shout out to soccer. Shout out to volleyball. Starts with that Washington game. They're actually at an exhibition in Tucson. They play Arizona tomorrow.
Yeah.
In an exhibition game, which will be great for them. But then Washington game and the CSU game, so cool. And then football with my guy Coach Lamb. The Shattering game is a great opportunity to start the year. I'm excited for those guys. They got them. Then they go play the Rams. They play CSU the second week out at campus, right?
Yep.
Is that what it's called?
Yep.
But I'm excited for those guys. I mean, obviously it's been a struggle, and they knew it was going to be a struggle, and they invested in youth and development and building strong bodies. And their whole thing is STBC, stronger, tougher, better conditioned, right? And so, Coach Lamb, we've gotten pretty close, and we golf together and stuff, and he's excited. So I'm excited to hopefully see some early season progress and dividends so that this community can get excited about it.
Yeah.
They still always get great support, but boy, it'd be great to see some early season success for people to get jacked up.
Yeah.
And I just think it helps our whole department to have these fall, you know, sports being successful, winning, and people buzzing about it. I think it helps us. I think it helps everybody.
I was out at practice, I think, last Friday for football, and they were practicing in the stadium.
Good.
So there, and I looked up in the stands, and there were a handful of people there to watch practice, and
awesome.
I don't typically remember seeing that many people going to watch open practices.
I just know how hard those guys work. I mean, people don't get it. I mean, when season starts, like, and he is an ultimate family balanced guy, but still, like, it is 7 days a week.
Yeah.
And those guys, they're not cutting corners. They are putting in time, and not just coaching, and their whole staff. Those guys are awesome. They work so hard, and so I'm hoping and praying that they have a good start to the season so people say, oh, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
This was the plan all along, and we'll see. Like, we all – the problem with sports and being a coach is that – it's all there, and it's all out there. It's all visible.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, there's a winner and loser. It's different than, you know, being a banker or whatever it is. Like, you know, you're going to lose some deals, win some deals, but it's not quite as public.
Mm-hmm.
This stuff's public, man. So, like, I hope they get out there and have some success right away.
Coach, I'm looking forward to getting the fall season started off and, you know, watching this basketball team progress and with the upcoming schedule. Some great things coming up. So I'm looking forward to it.
Got out of foreign trip and everything, 16 healthy bodies. And that's important.
That's
I'm telling you, some
huge.
Guys, I've talked to coaches that have had a lot of injuries in the summertime because you're going. And so we've been very, again, knock on wood, it's another phase coming up.
Yeah.
But we got through a hellacious, grueling summer, healthy. And iron sharpens iron. You got to do some stuff. Like, we believe in playing a lot of live stuff, but we're healthy. So, anyways, excited.
I'm looking forward to it, Coach. Always appreciate you, my friend. And we'll get right back at it next week.
Let's do it.
All right. The two-man game. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and 1310KFK.com. I want to shout out again to Ryan Hicks, Renaissance Insurance, making this happen. And I know he's a diehard Bears fan, so he'll be ready to rock and roll.
Coach,
we'll talk to you next week, my friend.
The Two Man Game podcast is brought to you by Renaissance Insurance, Ryan Hicks.
What's up, guys? It's head coach of the Bears, Steve Smiley, and I'm honored to tell KFKA listeners all about my guy, Ryan Hicks, and Renaissance Insurance. Like basketball, there's plenty of players in the insurance game. So how do you choose the best one for you? For me, I look for character, passion, dedication, and like a star Hoover, talent. Renaissance Insurance checks all the boxes and draws up the winning play every time. Let them find the perfect game plan for you. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825 or go to team-rig.com. Go Bears!